Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at Chumbacasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at Chumbacasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Yes, guys, welcome to the Full Time Devils podcast. This is number 36. I am back. It's Adam McCullough with Cal, Gaz and Andy Tate. We're here to talk all things Manchester United and all things the world of football.
I'm all for saving the planet and everything, but literally, as soon as you've got that much Coke left, you can't drink any more of it, can you? Because the straw...
Because it goes soft.
It's just soggy
straw.
They
are grim, aren't they? Yeah.
I'm that wrapped around my lips. It's not very nice, mate.
Just take the lid off and sip it.
Revolutionary from Andy Tate there. Revolutionary.
Andy Tate, the brains on the podcast today. So worrying turn up for events. We are on the back of Sheffield United 3, Manchester United 3. Obviously, we've got the games with Astana, Aston Villa on the horizon. I don't want to go into it too much in depth because obviously we've had a little bit of time to stew on that now. Everyone's seen the reaction, the fan cams. But how are we feeling after that game?
A little disappointed, to be honest. I thought, to be honest, we were shite for most of it, weren't we? First, what, 70 minutes? We were terrible.
Unacceptable.
It was a joke.
Every away game, it's the same. Apart from maybe Norwich, where we took it to them straight away. But it's just not on.
Norwich allowed us to play as well a little bit.
Yeah, but it's just not on. You can't keep doing this. You're not going to get anywhere near the top five European qualification if you can't attack teams and you just switch off.
Well, winning that game would have put us fifth, you know. Yeah. So it's amazing that became like a
derby for us. It would have put us in a good position going into the weekend, but now it's back to us. We've not, obviously, we moved one place, that's it. And like I say, amazing what a goal does, isn't it? No pressure.
It's like concentration, isn't it? That's the problem. It's like we had it against Crystal Palace where we scored late on and then they scored again. And it just shows a total lack of concentration from the defence.
I think the most disappointing thing for me was... seemed to be a lack of organisation, not only in defence, but in attack. Like, it was clear that whenever we've played 3-4-3 or 3-4-1-2, there's been a number 10 in behind the two strikers. When we played it with James instead of Andres Pereira or Mata or someone like that, we almost had two wingers and a striker still, even though we were playing a 3-4. And it just felt like there was a lack of connectivity between that four and the three. There was such a big gap, and the lack of movement from the players didn't help either. And whenever we got the ball, because the defence was panicking, the panic seemed to just spread. And there was a moment in the game where Danny James slashed the ball away, where if he just takes a touch, looks up, Marcus Rashford's clean through on the break. And it was like that almost like, what's that game called? Hot Rice. Remember you used to play Hot Rice and you just throw the ball at someone?
What's that?
If you get hit, you're out.
Dodgeball?
Don't remember Hot Rice? It's not dodgeball, but it kind of is.
Was this on
it's
the Mega?
Get old dodgeball.
Was this
on
Metro
a Mega Drive.
Game? Was it Metro game? I've never heard of it.
In the streets. But it was like, it was really frenetic, and I felt that spread throughout the whole team. And when your experienced players like Philip Jones
Oh, jeez. Because,
like, the thing is as well, what I wanted to ask, one of my main questions in the plan for today was, Ali is doing great with some of the youngsters. We know that. But has there come a point where you just say, what is the point playing Phillip Jones? What is the point playing Nemanja Matic, etc.? We know these guys have failed us. They're not good enough. Why not play the youth? And that game, we could have played 4-2-3-1 if we just played James.
Mate, you could go further than that.
Sorry, James Garner.
You could go further than that. You could even say players like Pereira. We've known for long enough now that he's not going to be a great Manchester United player, and he's had enough time here to prove that. You could even say Fred, although I'd say maybe deserves
Fred's
this
a bit
season
hard. I see what you're saying with Pereira, but the thing with Pereira is, and the reason I'd give a little leeway on that is because it's not like Phil Jones, where he's been
I understand that, but I get what you're saying as well. That's what I mean. We're saying that about Pereira and Fred, not even taking into account Phil Jones, because we've almost just accepted that the club doesn't really know what they're doing with players like that. We've known he's not good enough for, what, 6 years? Like, probably about 6 years ago, we thought, hang on, maybe this guy isn't going to be the player Sir Alex Ferguson told us he's going to be.
I'd say probably about 4 or 5.
Maybe the injuries have affected him, but it's ridiculous, man.
We were discussing this just a minute ago. Like, we always have that little bit of a laugh, like, God, he's terrible, isn't he? But it's not even funny anymore with how bad Phil Jones actually is. Like, that first goal, I saw so many pictures on Twitter of the defensive line, and Phil Jones is about 10 yards behind him. And
I know.
Playing them on side.
Does it make it worse that his partner in crimes in Serie A absolutely smashing it?
To be fair, I think if Phil Jones went to Serie A, he'd probably smash it.
Smalling's twice the player Jones is, and Smalling still ain't good
enough for United. I think Phil Jones is a better defender, natural defender. But I think Chris Smalling's got a better brain, and that's saying a lot. When is Chris Smalling? People that are rewriting history and say bring Chris Smalling back, the Premier League's not made for him.
No, it's not.
But fair play to him. I'm glad to see him doing well. I don't want him to fail.
It's a similar aspect with like losing Sanchez, wasn't it? People said, "Oh, well, we didn't replace Sanchez and Lukaku." Well, yeah, we didn't replace Lukaku, but you said the other week, Adam, Greenwood was replacing Sanchez because we didn't lose anything with Sanchez, did we? No. He didn't bring us anything.
No.
So losing him was the right thing to do.
And that's why that game was so frustrating as well, because I was looking at that picture of Rashford, Lingard, Greenwood and all that celebrating that goal, and it was like, it would have been so good if we didn't concede that late equaliser, because it's like you have Brandon Williams scoring, Mason Greenwood, Marcus Rashford, you come back, we didn't deserve it, 3-2, you build that confidence, and with all due, Sheffield United are a very good team, and it's like, imagine that, you play that badly, you get the goals back, and it would have just felt like something, and then just to let it slip like that, and it to be all our fault. Do you guys blame Ali for making the change? Because I don't personally. I wouldn't have taken off Martial, because I felt we lost our shape completely, because he was the most natural number nine, even though he had a bad game.
You give the Sheffield United the impetus to go and attack, and they did. They were all over the place for like 10-12 minutes, and we scored 3 goals, could have got a fourth. Take Martial off. This is where your bread and butter's earned. You live and die by your decisions. You take players on, bring them off, you win, lose games. It's like you say, he's got to hold up his hands. Solskjaer.
But do you think, had he not made that change and we concede, we're then saying the same thing, that it's naivety for him to just keep going gung-ho? And
the thing is with that is that decision probably was a wise decision. You know, you want to shot with the last
The reason I don't think it was is not because it went defensive. It's because it changed the whole shape of the game. Now, we had Martial, who wasn't he didn't have a very good game at all, despite he was involved in Marcus Rashford's goal, and he played a good pass to Dan James. He didn't have a good game at all. But in him being number nine, he keeps 2 centre-backs there, like, in position. When we take him off, we've then got a Greenwood, Lingard and Rashford. None of them are a number nine. None of them can really hold the ball with their back to goal. And it changes the way we play completely. And I feel like you leave Martial, you take off Rashford maybe, or Daniel James, and you put in James Garner or Axel Tuanzebe into that defensive midfield role.
Yeah.
Push Jesse Lingard out of midfield, because that's where he had dropped into midfield alongside Fred. And we've got more of a balanced team all of a sudden. 4-2-3-1. We've got a bit more protection in front of the defence. And I just felt it was the wrong substitution, but for the other reasons
what he wanted to do, but it obviously just didn't work. And the defence at the end would just, you know, it should have been dealt with, really. There was
Vic Lindelof, Lingard, I think.
I mean, even Maguire could have done better.
Yeah, there was a few that could have cleared it.
Do you know what's annoying, right? It's annoying that on paper, like a team like City don't even have a better defence than us. And I know that they're struggling defensively this season, but on paper, I don't think their defence is any better than ours.
Who's?
Yeah, Wigan City's. Genuinely.
Oh, yeah, I was going to...
We've got a better goal.
I thought you said Sheffield United, and I was going to say...
got a better right back.
Is that something we should be looking at, Ollie, and saying, look, we're looking at a Chris Wilder team that is probably cost less than Diogo Dalot put together.
But you're never going to work hard.
It's not just about working hard, though, guys, here, because... I think that's disrespectful to them because they actually play very good football, in terms of the way they keep possession. Yeah. Like
they're there for
whereas we just don't keep possession. Do you know what I mean?
These things
are drilled into you when because they have Ender Stevens, McGoldrick, players that aren't good enough for Ireland, in my opinion. And it's like you look at that and you think it's the way they are drilled. When one man moves, the other man moves. When one man moves, the other man moves, and it's constant. And are we seeing that from Manchester United at the moment?
Constantly working together as a team to get the right result at the end of the game.
Is it something to do with us not having a coach as manager?
What about injuries? Is that an issue? Because these lot play the same team almost every week. You could say the same for Liverpool. Could say the same for Chelsea at the moment.
Say the same for City. Look at their defence, man. It's a state.
Oh, yeah. They don't play the same team often enough, so that's why their form's bad. Do you think... is that an excuse for Raleigh?
No.
It's an hard one to call because, like you say, Solskjaer will make decisions and he said, I've got the squad I want. I've heard rumours he doesn't want to buy in January. He's happy with the squad. Well,
I don't think that's
rubbish paper talk. Yeah,
maybe rubbish.
Been
paper
reading the
talk.
Sun again, Andy.
No, look. Critical time now. Where are we going to be? First week in January, are we going to be around the top six?
No,
I don't think that is what he should be judged on, though. I think we are
still there mid table in January, then questions will have to be asked.
In the short term, I think he needs to be judged on the football and the improvements and the players improving.
And I think we are seeing that, though. It's like I've said multiple times, there's little bits there to show that the team is improving, and I think with the right additions to the squad, whether it be in January or the summer, there is something there. And I think with 5-6 additions to the entire squad, I really think United could be up the top of the league. But lack of investment from the
further
board.
You don't mean at the top of the league, at you the mean top, further
a lot for, well yeah further up definitely not at the top, but you know, a lot, hell of a lot of better.
That's a lot of players. You make the right decisions.
But I think
he has made the right
decisions. The money we've not spent over the last number of years, we spent about 60 mil this summer.
Which is ridiculous.
About 30 mil the summer before, 50 mil. We haven't spent an awful lot.
Joking it.
You could say money's in the bank.
You know that there?
Well, in the Glazers.
A lot of people, well, exactly. And a lot of people will say that that's the Glazers, and it is the Glazers without doubt. But how much is Woodward at fault for the lack of spending then? Is he just like answering to a boss and not questioning them or anything? Or is it him making this decision of, no, I've been told we need
no,
to
I think he,
keep it under this and that's what I'm doing?
Upon their instruction, and their guidance.
Their guidance.
He probably comes back to the, he probably has performance targets. He probably has, because we see him getting wage increases, and we see now we've made this potentially a new deal with a Chinese company. £70 million per year, which again would be a record, but it begs, like people keep saying, United can still make money. But the thing I would say is, that's £90 million or £100 million if we're top of the league.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like,
the reason I'm asking that about Woodward is because if he were to go, whoever's in his role, would they have the exact same issue?
Yeah, but
and would it be exactly the same?
They probably would. But the thing is,
it's the way you spend money.
The way you spend money, and there's still been no, you know, there's all this talk of director of football, and there's still no movement. Why?
Because if you look over the last 6 years, since Fergie's left, they've actually addressed. They've not redressed the balance because it was very imbalanced against Manchester United in terms of the money we were investing during the Fergie years. But since then, they've started chucking money out. But the thing is, it's the way you spend money. But the way you invest it, how you invest it, who's investing it, what are you investing it in? And that's been the issue. We haven't had the right people making the right calls.
It goes back to them. It goes back to the last years of Ferguson, though, doesn't it? It's like people all of a sudden, you know, making it a big thing in this last 2-3 years. But the problem started when we were winning. The problem started when we were in Champions League finals. That's, we were being underinvested then, but we had a genius as manager who was still making us successful.
I think the problem's obviously started when the Glazers arrived in 2005.
Oh, yeah.
But notably, you could say when we saw Ronaldo.
That's when we saw it. That's
when we saw Ronaldo, it. that's when it started to go.
I got kicked out of school for putting up Love United 8 Glazer stickers all over the gaff.
No, but you could say our chief exec, the next chief exec who takes over from Woodward, I think, needs to retreat.
Nobody
behind the scenes.
Unless
no, he needs to. David Gill before him, he hardly got a mention. You see him there now and again. He'll speak out. But this guy who's there now, it's all about him. And it's not about the football, and he's contradicting himself this side or the other. Oh, was it last week? We got a sponsorship with fucking Lego. Is that true? Fucking Lego bricks.
You'll be buying them though, Andy.
Fucking
you know,
I know, Andy, really.
Fucking Lego bricks.
I hear what you're saying, Andy, but we're never going to get rid of Ed Woodward unless we get rid of the Glazers. And ultimately, Ed Woodward is. You may as well call him Ed Glazer. Because he is the physical embodiment of the Glazers.
How can my man survive another manager? I don't understand how he can survive. How many will it be? Four? How can you do
five if you include Giggs, I suppose.
It'll be like having the chairman of a company. And he's sacked five of his vice chairmen.
Do you agree on this? The business isn't doing well.
Maybe it's you.
Do you agree? If he sacks Solskjaer and puts Pochettino in, does he have to go as well? Because we were talking about this before.
Ed Woodward shouldn't be here.
In a position to be saying he has to go. He shouldn't even be. He should have been gone. Yeah, he should.
Or he should be a part of a board that we don't even see or hear about.
Yeah.
Like I remember David Gill. Yeah, we used to know he was there. I don't ever remember speaking about David Gill.
But is that because we were successful?
Yes, but also David Gill did make his mistakes. I think people look back at him.
He was against the Glazer takeover. Yeah. I remember him saying that.
He said that was the road to ruin, correct.
And then
David Gill also defended them as much as Fergie after the takeover. It's like people look at David Gill and say he's almost the anti-Glazer. He's not. He said things which were correct. That is the road to ruin, which he said before the Glazers came in. And then in order to keep his job, keep the cushy wage, same with Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
Thank God he saved, because he was the genius we needed and this would have happened earlier. But they protected the Glazers. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer came out and said, the Glazers are bad for the club. Then he was working for them. He is a player. And those that use that against Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, a Glazer apologist. If you're going to call Ole Gunnar Solskjaer a Glazer apologist, you have to call Sir Alex Ferguson a Glazer apologist. Also, let's talk about the fact that if it wasn't for the horse spunk and him getting into it with JP McManus, we're never in a situation where the Glazers buy one of the biggest stakes in the club and then start the hostile takeover in the first place. So it all started there. So if you're going to call Ollie a Glazer apologist, you have to call Fergie. You have to call Jose, who also defended them and also came out and said, Ed Woodward's great, the board's great, they're doing everything that I want. You know, so let's not rewrite history here. Let's not paint David Gill as someone who stood up against them. Let's not paint Jose, because they were not those things.
And also, let's stop like trying to vilify everyone who is actually genuinely anti-Glazer just because they're not doing it in the exact way that you want them to.
I've had that conversation on Twitter so many times. I think, you know, when you actually end up speaking to these people that tweet you,
they're
like,
not real. A lot of them aren't real.
I think there's a lot of buts, but I think, but I mean, when you speak to certain individuals that will tweet you, why aren't you doing this? And you say, well, I have, or well, eventually they back down, and it's like, well, it's just because I care. You do care. So do I. But it's like, you don't show it more by being on Twitter. Do you know what I mean? Like, and ultimately, there is, just because you don't tweet something doesn't mean you don't think something. Mm. And I think a lot of people just don't get that. And also, because we are doing a channel, because we are on YouTube, because we get X thousand views, people think our opinions hold more weight.
But they don't.
They That's literally the whole don't. Point of and people think we think our opinions hold more weight. They literally don't. We just like the sound of our voice.
I saw someone doing it recently with Arsenal Fan TV, and very rarely will I defend those guys. But fair play. Someone like Arsenal Fan TV put a tweet out. I can't remember which player it was about, but they were saying how good this particular player is. And then someone quoted that tweet and says, "Are you sure about that, lads?" And then put loads of different videos that they'd put up in the past criticising this player. But there were specific videos from specific people on that channel. Not every fan channel just has a blanket opinion. The full-time Devils don't have a stance on Glazer. Every single person who comes on Full-Time Devils has their own individual opinion about every single thing at the club.
And it's fair to say, as someone that holds the mic, I've never asked someone to answer something a certain way or whatever. And it's like, you know imagine? What I mean? It's like, being able to have that sort of control is mental. We are not the Tory party, do you know what I mean? Yeah. We phone people up just before we knock on their doorstep and say, "Oh, mate, can you just say these good things about me before?" Like, that's not what's happening. So I think
Andy
just
Tate is an actor. Just want to make that one clear that he's only here for views for the channel.
He even pretended to have a normal job.
You have a normal job, big that. You know what I mean? I fucking work Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday. So and I'll go watch my team, look after my family. Anyone's got a problem with it, stick it.
I don't know how you keep that accent up, you know.
I'm Manc born and bred, lad.
I don't know why anyone would have a problem with Andy having a job. I don't know why he's just so...
This happened 5 years ago when it all went viral 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I had a job in a warehouse.
That's what
with,
I was
with
joking
a company
about.
And people... He's got a problem. Oh, why is he working? Why is he working? Because I'm working and providing for my family. I know I talk rubbish, but some dickheads out there fucking laid into me for having a job. That's what it is. People still do it now.
It's like...
Nothing wrong with it.
Look, you know in school back in the day, like nowadays I shop at Lidl, I shop at Aldi.
I do.
I shop at these places, I love it. When I was in school, my mum shopped at Aldi. I was embarrassed by it because you get ripped at school for shopping. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's schoolboy shit. Like, oh, you work here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say where you work, but let's say you were working in Asda and people are like, Andy works in Asda. Embarrassed. It's just normal people. It's life. People have debt. People have jobs. People have problems. People can't shop at the same place all the time. And it's like, it's something that I've grasped as I've got older. Obviously, as a kid, like, you know, you have pride and over stupid things or whatnot. It's just like...
I used to work at Iceland. Fucking great.
My first ever job was at Asda.
Mate, this is what I remember. I saw someone like...
second ever job was at Tesco.
Which newspaper was it that fucking tried to shame some like EastEnders actress because she had a normal job?
I'll give you a guess. It was one of two. Was it the Sun or the Daily Mail?
Andy's favourite one.
Wow, me up. Mate, I had a breakfast show for you at the start of the year. Lost it in May. I had to do a bit of job doing like delivery work for a couple of months. Did it. We got a phone call while I was at work offering me a job at the BBC, but I had to do that work at the time. Just
Did anyone have that on their bingo card today? Gaz mentions I work at the BBC.
But that's why I'm so proud of it, because you're doing that shit.
It is good.
That's life.
Just don't join the dark side of the BBC, please.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Moving back onto the football, the importance of the Europa League. I know we've been... It was a good chat, actually, on the team and stuff like that. But in terms of the Europa League, is it our only way? I'm not going to say only way. I think it is our only way into the Champions League. Is it possible that we could win it with this squad?
If everyone's fit and there's some additions in January, yes.
Yeah, definitely.
That's all I could say on that.
You boys still thinking we can win it, then?
Are we going
with
to get that?
What Andy said, yeah. Everyone fit, couple of additions, yeah. We'll smash Arsenal in the final.
Possible.
I'm quite surprised by that.
You tell me we'd take Arsenal out in a final in Poland. I'm fucking up for that.
And now, you know what? I'm in two minds, actually, because I was about to say that we've looked frigging awful in the group stage so far, and we have. I think the worst performance, that draw against Alkmaar, Jesus, man, that was dire. But thinking back to the year that we actually won it, we were dreadful in the group stage of that as well. It was
dreadful
dire.
In some of the...
And then the knockout. Rostov in the knockout.
I remember Zlatan scoring the prop... possibly the worst hat trick I've ever seen.
Against Saint,
and then just shithousing it in front of the whole Stretford End like I
was
have
it, got. Was that Saint Etienne?
Yeah.
I think it was, wasn't it? Pogba's brother plays.
Yeah,
for him,
I remember that
one. I just remember that Celta Vigo in the semi final, and that guy
that bold player.
Jesus, I remember nearly shitting myself and that, yeah. And then he missed.
He missed it, and then 10 seconds later, the whistle went.
Do you remember these teams that we beat in the knockout round? Rostov, Saint Etienne, Celta Vigo.
No, Anderlecht was a really tough game. That went to that. I didn't get on till like 12 o'clock at night. Finished about, was it half 11?
We've got to win this thing, man. Honestly, I don't even know. Like,
there are going to be some tricky teams dropping down to it after the Champions League group stages as well.
The thing is,
we'll get a clearer idea after this weekend.
Mm. Yeah, I think to be fair, if we win on Thursday, don't we win the group and Alkmaar lose? We win the group, don't we? So that'll be a bit that puts us in a better position.
I think we've kind of just got a better there.
Who's going to drop down? I mean, from the Champions League, Napoli could drop down.
I've not looked at the Champions League.
Possibly
group,
Real Madrid.
To see where
could Real Madrid drop down because they're playing PSG?
I think Real Madrid will be all right. They did lose against PSG initially in the first game, but I think
they're other. Well,
I'm
going to
check the groups now and see where they stand.
Atletico Madrid.
Real Madrid in the Europa
League. Atletico.
Go on, Adam. Let us know the group situation.
So we got Group A
played,
Real Madrid and PSG aren't going to get knocked out of Group
A. Okay.
So you're looking at Club Brugge or Galatasaray drop into the Europa League.
Galatasaray.
Then you're looking at Red Star or Olympiacos drop into the Europa League. Possibly a Dinamo or a Shakhtar will drop into it.
Come on, man.
Then a Lokomotiv Moscow or your Leverkusen.
Oh, Rangers Celtic.
Salzburg or Genk. Could drop
these
into
teams
it.
Are capable of giving us a go.
Then you're definitely going
to
get.
To beat them,
you're definitely going to get one of Dortmund, Inter, and Barca, possibly Inter, who have got 4 points after four games.
If we play Inter and they beat us, mate, I bet we play
Zenit,
them in February and they play
Zenit
Matic
or Benfica,
us.
Celtic or Old Trafford,
and Valencia or Lille. Well, it'll be Valencia, Chelsea, or Ajax actually.
So we can
have a winner. Most of those names that you said, Dan, we could beat.
I'll say it again. If we add to the squad in January and the players are fit, yes. If not, not chance.
How likely is it that we will add to the squad in January?
Can you keep this quick, by the way, because I've got a quick fire round that I want to do after this.
Okay. How likely is it?
Before we move on to Wally of the Weeks.
I think we'll sign one player.
I think we'll sign one player.
Yeah.
I don't trust them to sign anyone.
What type of player? I think it's going to be
a midfielder.
Like
it has to be a midfielder.
I want Penton.
It needs to be a midfielder, but
a midfielder.
I think it'll be a striker.
Oh, Maddison.
I don't think it'll be a striker. No.
Bruno Fernandes.
Exactly.
Still having his medical.
Get Jadon Sancho.
Yeah, just go out and get him.
He's probably coming back or what?
He's off form at the minute. It'll be
Pogba
right for us
back.
To sign.
Yeah, I think he's back for the derby.
Right then.
Allegedly.
You ready, yeah?
Pogba's back for the derby.
You ready?
For January in Real Madrid.
We saw Monday Night Football, Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher, their team of the decades in the Premier League. We don't want to copy what they've done. So quickly, let's pick a Manchester United team of the decade. Then I'm going to go into a quick fire round after that. No, they did Premier League team of the decade.
Right, let me just get up the 2010-11 United team.
No. It's not though. It's not that because like Rio and Vidic left like a year later, 2 years later.
Yeah, so
can you still put them in?
Yeah.
David De Gea gets goalkeeper for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right back. That's Valencia or Rafael?
I'd go Rafael. Me. Yeah.
Rafael. Yeah.
I think Valencia probably deserves it more
for longevity.
He got player of the year a few times in that.
And he was captain for a bit.
I don't have a problem with Valencia. I just think I like Rafael more. But,
yeah. Centre half.
Valencia.
Centre half.
It's got to be Rio.
It's got to be Rio.
It's got to be Rio.
I know they left in 2014.
It's got to be Rio, definitely.
I'm not sure I understand. Shut up, Siri. It's
Rio,
gotta be Rio
and Vidic.
Yeah, I'd probably.
Rio Vidic.
Who else would you go with?
It's just I know that
Johnny Evans probably gets a shout, I suppose, maybe. Yeah. But I mean, I know
that you've got a bit of an issue with Vidic, and I've sort of got the same issue with him.
He pissed me right off in that last season.
But he goes in there, don't he?
That's gone now. Like, look, we remember the good times here.
It's like Vidic. With me and Rooney, that.
Nah, even with Rooney, I forgot. Like,
yeah, that's what I mean.
Like, you know, it's gone now. So, did we say Rio and Vidic? Left back?
Evra.
It's got to be Evra. Alexander Butler.
Just for his goal in Bayern Munich, probably.
Yeah, that rocket into the top corner. When we all thought David
Daily
Moyes
Blinder
was
shout.
Win.
Best, was it 30 seconds? And like, yes! Then you got to prevent and score.
Daily Blind shout? Or no?
Nah, mate. Daily Blind was shite at left back.
Cameron Borthwick Jackson.
I went to school with him.
Good player.
Yeah, he was a nice guy as well, to be fair.
Ashton.
No, I wouldn't say it, Anthony's.
Right, okay. That's why they usually send the United players, isn't it, Ashton?
So, Real, Vidic, Evra, Valencia, or Rafael, and David De Gea.
Valencia.
Yeah.
Midfield.
Got Carrick, can't you? You put Carrick in there. Yeah. A couple of league titles. Few, three
I'm trying to remember
Real.
What year they all put
Anderson.
Anderson.
Herrera?
Yeah, Herrera.
Herrera.
Carrick and Herrera, I'd probably go for the two centre mids.
And I think Juan Mata has to be in there somewhere, maybe not centre mid.
It depends what formation you're playing.
Yeah, no Pogba.
4-2-3-1.
I don't think Pogba's done enough really to deserve. I mean, obviously,
he's probably been been the best midfielder since Fergie.
One was that Europa League, didn't he? So maybe he has done enough. Because, like I say, if one good season.
Because we're looking at that is more the last 6 years.
Else has done.
The last 6 years has been more than. Half
mate, how
of
can
the
you,
century,
what, mate. I know. I understand, like, not being a fan of him at the minute, but how can you dislike him so much, man?
It's really
weird.
Really
weird.
It
feels
really,
really weird how much you hate him. Why do you hate him so?
Especially
much?
Especially when he's been our best player.
And literally won us that Europa League that season.
What else is
so
he
how
done?
Can you? What's yeah, he... I know, but you're not saying this same stuff about other players in the team. Why? I don't understand what the issue is specifically with him. What about Juan Mata? Why have you not got this much of an issue with him?
Well, Matic.
Or Matic, or
fucking Matic. If Pogba did what Matic did, you would have an effigy hung up a Pogba.
Oh yeah, Juan Matic's Mata, totally committed. All right, he's over the hill.
Why?
But why?
He always gives Matic.
He walks more than Pogba, you fucking joker.
He gives everything for the shirt and left.
That's
why.
Quite interesting.
How does he?
Matic give fuck all.
What does Mata do?
He gives fucking commitment and he fucking cares
but
about
what
the
is
club.
A,
what
are
you,
what are you levelling this commitment?
Fair enough, fair enough.
How are you measuring this commitment?
Pogba runs more than him in games.
But you say Pogba don't move enough. But then you say Mata's committed more. It doesn't make sense.
It's just like when you say Matic, people don't recoil in horror. When you say Mata, people don't recoil
but
in
I can
horror.
Understand
say
Pogba.
Pogba and it's like,
I can
whoa.
Understand Pogba looking around him and he's like, why should I bust a gut? Because there's not nobody else.
But you're making things up to make yourself angry. It's fucking odd. Like, I can see it. Like, you get angry about it and it's like...
Because he's... All right,
but it's bollocks. What you're saying is absolute bollocks.
He's supposed to be our fucking main man. And
but you don't... But you make that in your head. In your head, you think, he's supposed to be our main man. And then you get angry about it. You make yourself angry. It's fucking weird. It really is. Anyway... it's really weird.
So Pogba's in the
it's
team.
Really nice. He doesn't deserve to be in the team, but I find it really weird. Like you say, like Matic can post what he wants, say what he wants about the manager, do this, do that, nothing gets said. You say Mata's more committed, based off what? Based off what?
So
off what?
He did a nice video on BT Sport not long ago where he went around.
He puts hugs at the end of his blog. I love Juan Mata. And I know he's committed to Man United. But to say it's just really sickening. I find it an illness amongst a section of the fan base that they look at Pogba like this and they see they have hatred for him and they don't have the same feel towards other players who have done a lot less in their time here at the club and definitely do not care. Pogba got injured, played 90 minutes against fucking Rochdale. And people act like he doesn't want to play.
People act like he did it on purpose. This is my opportunity. I'm going to get myself injured. I'm going to fuck off to Dubai for a month. It's just ridiculous.
Just want to make it clear, I am firmly on the fence in this debate. Like, I don't really have either side for this one. I'm not necessarily his biggest fan, and I kind of have a feeling. I hope I'm wrong. Well, I don't, you know what?
I think he'll go, I've always said it.
I think he's going in Jan. I think he's going in Jan.
He won't go in Jan.
He's gone that summer.
I genuinely think this injury...
But if I was him, I would go.
I think maybe this injury isn't as bad as it's being portrayed, and maybe he's going to come back for the derby, get fit for Jan, and be off to Madrid.
I think... He will go, and if I was him, I would go too, because of that narrative that comes from Andy, which a lot of people share. And
it's my view, mate.
Sorry, but it's wrong. It's right. It's madly wrong. But because of that narrative, and because of the fact United are shit, Pogba. If I was Pogba, I'd go anyway. But I find it really bizarre that people will suck the dick of someone like Scott McTominay, Juan Mata, all these lot, and say they're the best things since sliced bread. But then Paul Pogba, who actually is our best player, and who actually was
don't
our best...
Like
listen,
him,
Luke Shaw got fucking player of the year of the fact that he didn't put on a pound of weight in a season. Paul Pogba was twice the player of
Paul
Luke
Pogba
Shaw,
the year,
twice
actually.
The player of Victor Lindelof last season. He got none of the credit. Why sway? I don't know. Anyway, moving on from that, where we got to Mata in the team. Who's the two wingers?
See, now this is where it gets controversial.
Zlatan's a striker, right? Or Van Persie? Van Persie.
Yeah, Van Persie.
The season of Van Persie was better than the season.
Yeah, okay. It was just the season for Zlatan as well, wasn't it? So, yeah.
What would you do?
Fucking hell, Van Persie. He was good for one. He was good for fucking 8 months and he's in play team of the decade.
What would you do? Probably go with Martial on the left.
Rooney in there somewhere?
Fucking hell, does Rooney get in there? You know what? Rooney actually does get in there. Because, yeah,
probably ahead of Mata for me.
Yeah, I'd put him at number 10.
I'll put Rooney Martial
above Mata.
Rooney Martial,
Van Persie. Hey, Van Persie on the right.
Say it.
Falcao.
No. Say Lingard.
Could do. Won the FA Cup for us. Lingard.
Just put Martial.
He's got some important goals for us in this decade, mate.
I'll tell you what, that is going to get.
Listen, can I just say something? Yeah, old men love Norman Whiteside because of goals he scored in the FA Cup.
Hmm.
If Jesse scores that goal in 1985, he's a legend. He's not a legend because you just winning the FA Cup don't make you a legend. But I'm just saying, like, the way the FA Cup has changed in terms of how it's held, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
If you scored a winner in an FA Cup final in the 80s, you are God. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
that's just
it's the way football's changed and all that.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't look so weird on camera.
It definitely does. So we've got... Who's it?
Here we go. What? Rooney at number 10, Martial on the left, Van Persie. Who goes on the right though? Lingard.
Oh, yeah, we didn't put
Not Lingard.
So Van Persie.
Rooney, was it?
Martial. We'll have Van Persie, Rooney. Van Persie, Rooney, Martial. It's fluid. Yeah, you behind them, the midfielders.
I'll tell you what you could do.
We need one in the we need a right winger.
Yeah, we'll do fluid. We'll have Rooney and Van Persie just
So where's
about.
The extra player coming from?
Well, you're on about 4-3-3.
We've got four.
Have we done four midfielders?
Two. Carrick Herrera.
Oh.
Rooney in the hole. Rooney Martial. The hole.
Van Persie.
Van Persie.
Can't be Mata on the right then, isn't it? Fit them both in.
Nanny?
Nanny's the team of the decade.
That's a good shout.
That's a good shout.
When did Nanny left? Fucking
2014, wasn't it?
15. He had that performance against Bayern Munich. Real Madrid.
Fucking hell, that was it was shit out that first 7 minutes against Bayern in 2010. That back heel.
And Valencia, remember him?
Yeah.
He set it up.
Hernandez?
Nah.
What do you mean, nah?
Because he'd be going in Van Persie's position. Not on the. He wouldn't go on the right, would he?
Oh, another controversial.
I'll tell you what you could do, to be fair, is you could swap it around, put Rafael at right back, and then just push Valencia forward and put him at right wing.
Nah, Mata. It's got to be Mata. Above Valencia or Rafael.
Mata's never been brilliant at right wing. I think he had that one game against Liverpool.
I'm not thinking positions and how this team would actually play. I'm just thinking these players have had the most influence on United.
Pure talent alone, Di Maria would get him.
Oh, yeah, obviously. But he's a dick, isn't he?
But he bitched it, didn't he?
Right, so that position's going to be left.
It's a shame about Falcao because we was all buzzing about it.
There's been plenty of things I've been buzzing about this decade.
See, even then, I don't remember Di Maria or Falcao getting the same levels of vitriol that Pogba gets.
I know.
It's interesting. Signing of the decade. Quick fire, please. Go from Andy. Background.
Hernandez.
I think we signed him before. Was it this decade?
Yeah, 2010.
2010.
Yeah,
I'll go Van Persie.
It was after that World Cup.
Oh, I was going to go.
You can still go. I'm trying to think.
I said go this way and then I jumped in.
I'm trying to be a bit different.
I'll say different then.
You could say Juan Mata or something.
I'll say under Herrera.
Yeah.
I'll go with Herrera.
Anthony Martial is the best signing since Fergie left.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen with Anthony Martial though.
What do you mean?
We don't know where his career is going to go from here.
Yeah, I suppose.
So, but I still think he's probably above Mata for what he's done for United at the minute. So yeah, Martial. Yeah, sure.
So we had
Hernandez.
No, fuck it. Van Persie
won
us the
title.
This
is a quick fire fucking round.
We spent 30 minutes.
Hernandez, Van Persie.
Herrera.
Van Persie. So it's Van Persie. Worst signing of the decade. Quick.
Bepe.
Bepe
is the fella from EastEnders, by the way.
Bepe DeMarco. You're going to have to let me think. When did we sign Butner?
2011.
Not the worst signing of the decade.
I know exactly who I'm going for.
Yeah, worst signing of the decade is Falcao.
Phil Jones.
Overtime? What about overtime?
2010.
He's been here for 9 years.
But you've just been players like... when you say Falcao, Di Maria, remember how happy you were. Sanchez, actually.
Sanchez. In fact, yeah,
nah,
Sanchez.
Sanchez was a swap, though, wasn't it?
Still signed him,
didn't we? Mm. Moment of the decade?
Van Persie's goal against Aston Villa.
Winning the league last time on the Fergie. League.
Martial against Everton in the FA Cup. I love that.
I was minting it.
Love that.
Lifting the Europa League just after the Manchester bomb. I thought that was quite special. Mm.
Seeing as you've said a lot of the ones, I will say there was obviously Paris as well, which would mint, but I would have to say Rio's winner, Fergie's last game for me.
Perhaps. Swansea.
What, Old Trafford?
Yeah, I remember my dad saying to me, "This you're going to learn how to feel to be a football fan now." And after they went west. Worst moment of the decade?
Aguero, 2012.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Out. Yeah, definitely.
As if that was this decade.
Turn the telly over, let's watch the end of the game. No, don't. And there he is, fucking scoring.
Liverpool winning the Champions League last year.
Liverpool winning the Premier League this year, next year.
Exactly.
I'd
go with Andy, as I'd never felt.
Yeah.
Because before the game, I'd accepted we weren't winning the league. Like, they're not going to lose against QPR. And then as it unfurled,
they gave us hope, didn't they?
At that moment where I got hope.
86 minutes, and you're like, fucking hell, this could happen.
In fact, I'm quite sure we need to check Joey Barton's bank statements for that year. I'm pretty sure that there'll be a dodgy payment coming
people
in from
people forget about that red card from them, people from them forget owners.
And he took out Tevez, didn't he?
Yeah, it's a quick fire round, so stop it. Goal of the decade,
Van Persie, I said, against Villa.
Oh, fucking hell, you've taken my goal, but
he's going first, so he's taken all the I'll tell you what, I'll go with Lingard's goal at the FA Cup final.
Fucking hell, his Di Maria good, Leicester
his was oh, a his good chip. Shout with Martial in the
Di Maria
Everton.
Leicester
I'd go with Rashford against Paris Saint-Germain.
Goal
of the decade.
Oh, I thought we were talking on pure fucking
best
skill.
Pure aesthetics.
For pure skill.
Van Persie Villa or Martial Liverpool?
Yeah, probably got the same, yeah.
Player of the decade?
Van Persie.
No, I'd probably go Herrera.
David De Gea, you mad cunt. Imagine not saying David De Gea.
Fucking hell. Or Herrera, though. Or Herrera, one of the two Spanish lads.
Dickhead of the decade.
We know who he's going to say. I was saying you. I was saying hand over to Andy because you're...
Is it this easy, though?
There's only one.
Is it this easy?
His name is Ed literally Woodward. Fucking Dickhead. There we go. Yeah. Sorted.
We all agreed on this one,
he
right?
is a donkey. In
yeah. But like I said before... Fucking, if we got rid of him, they'd have the same problems, wouldn't they? So maybe Ed is a scapegoat and we're all scapegoating him, and it's the fucking Glazers that we should be.
No, it's Ed Woodward and the Glazers.
Whoever
takes over from him, just retire into the background.
I say shoot the messenger, and Ed Woodward is the messenger.
Controversial. As the classic saying goes, shoot the messenger.
Guys, before we go, it's that time of the week again, Wally of the Week. And again, I think we're going to be unanimous in this. So I'm going to say 3, 2, 1. And when I've said one, all say the name of Wally of the Week. Yeah?
I'm going to have a different one here. I know I am.
Yeah, but I don't know how you can.
No, I've got... No, Ed Woodward is as well.
No, I don't know how you can have that. It's not... I think me and Andy are on the same page.
Yeah, Ed Woodward.
Right,
no!
I feel like that backfired there.
Three.
You've got to remember, you've got to remind us of things that have happened this week. Refresh our memory.
3-3.
Refresh our memory.
3-3.
Yeah, so who is the dickhead in that situation?
Phil Jones.
Yeah. He went off at half time, man. How can we blame him?
Didn't even get to do my fucking count now.
Oh, sorry.
And I wanted us to all say Phil Jones.
But
in unison.
He went off.
Like a well oiled machine. But instead, here we are and we didn't do it. Anyway, as of now, you can still register to vote. If this doesn't go out by the time that the deadline's closed, and that's your fault, you can't register to vote. But if you're listening to this and it's not 11:59 p.m. yet on the 26th of November and you're in the UK, register to vote right now. Make sure you make your voice heard.
Also,
anyway, guys,
if you've moved out, you need to register to vote again. Something I didn't realise until this morning.
Yeah. Yep, I did that.
And
also,
read the manifestos, read the policies, and see which speaks to yourself
also,
more.
Don't
that's
vote
the
on
only
people.
Public service announcement that we're going to give.
Research.
And don't vote for personalities. Vote for policies and vote for the people them in your area. Anyway, guys, this has been Full Time Devils. This has been the podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Wally of the Week, Phil Jones. Let us know your things of the decades, dickheads of the decades, goal of the decades, all that kind of stuff. Andy, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Where can we find you on? So it's on Instagram.
Instagram. Andy_MUFCTate. I've got 11,000, nicely going up. 11,000 followers. So
well,
thank you.
I want to get that to 20k by the end of the year. I'm sure we can do that.
And influencer Andy.
Yeah, we get more than 9k viewers.
It's just
a bit of
fun
on a podcast. Why
it's
can't
just,
we?
It's just a bit of fun. The Instagram, man, I love it, and I love people who follow me, even if you hate me.
Gaz, Radio_Gaz.
Yeah, man. Talking Balls, BBC Radio Manchester, weekdays.
Cal, we know you're on the Full Time Devils blog, but where else can we find you?
_CalStone on Twitter, and you can check out my blog at the United Road. Give that one a read.
I've got a podcast called United Road.
I know. I was really pissed off when I found out about that. Because
who was first?
You
the lawyer.
You were, but I didn't even know until I'd after I'd done it.
I'll let you have it. We'll share
the lawyer.
You're going to have to fucking get solicitor.
If you're wondering what United Road is, it's a podcast that I do with Bolt, Scribbs and Margs.
It's the old stand from the 80s.
Yeah, United Road.
I did it for the country road.
And that is the podcast. See you later.
Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.